Support for KJZZ's coverage of tribal resources comes from Katina Foundation, dedicated to restoring human and ecological systems.
Russia's invasion of Ukraine has caused ripple effects across the globe, including one that could be felt strongest here in the Southwest. And it involves an element found underground. Annette McGivney has written about this. She's a journalist based in Colorado and covers environmental and Native American issues for The Guardian. She spoke with our co-host, Mark Brody.
You know, most people are very aware of the situation with oil and gas and coal. As far as, you know, it being imported from Russia and our dependence on those imports for energy in the United States and Europe. But what most people didn't realize, or we don't talk about much, is that uranium, which powers 20% of the overall energy supply of the United States through nuclear power, is also comes from Russia. And another 30% comes from the allies of Kazakhstan and Uzbekistan. So that's 50% of the uranium coming from Russian-controlled areas that are supplying 20% of what goes into the U.S. power grid.
Is there an estimate as to how much uranium might be underground in the Southwest? Like, could we make up all of that uranium we get from Russia and its allies if we were to mine for it here?
Yes, absolutely. The uranium industry people I've talked to said that there's no shortage of uranium in the United States, that the Southwest especially has the richest supplies in the Western United States in general. Wyoming has quite a bit as well. So there's plenty of uranium underground. It's just it's very controversial to extract it in the United States because of our history with that.
Well, and one of the controversies that you write about is where the uranium is located, right? Like a lot of it is on land that is considered sacred to Native American tribes.
Right. That's right. So really big deposits of uranium are in and around the Grand Canyon and also in southern Utah. So President Obama put a ban on uranium when he was in office, a 20-year ban for mining, no mining allowed in and around the Grand Canyon for uranium. That will last another 10 years, but one mine, formerly called Canyon Mine, the company renamed it to Pinyon Plain Mine, was grandfathered in. So it is just 8 miles from the south rim of Grand Canyon, and it could start production anytime. It's ready to go. And then there's several mines that are set up ready to go right around Bears Ears National Monument in Utah.
So you write about Senator John Barrasso, who is from Wyoming, a Republican, who has put forward a bill in that chamber to basically start up uranium mining and production in the U.S. What do some of the tribal folks say about that? Like, are there circumstances under which they would maybe be okay with some of this mining? Are there maybe land deals that could be made, or is it just a hard pass?
Yeah, it's hard to say what circumstances would be where uranium mining would be okay. You know, for the mines that I wrote about in the Guardian story, they're not okay because Pinyon Plain Mine is right at the foot of the most sacred site for the Havasupai tribe. And then in southern Utah, the Ute Mountain Ute community lives right next to mining operations where, you know, if there's any kind of accident, it could flow into the groundwater and potentially be lethal for them. It's not an easy situation because we need uranium for our nuclear power plants. And it's got to come from somewhere. And ethically, it's not right to expect other countries to suffer so that we can get their uranium. But, you know, where can we get it safely without endangering people's lives or the environment within the United States is, you know, a tough question.
Right. Well, and you mentioned the issue and the concerns about contamination from the mines themselves. It sounds like some of the industry folks that you talked to didn't really think that was such a big deal based on I guess, advances in the technology, advances in the techniques they use in these mines now. How different is it now than from what it has been in the past, do you think?
I think it's very different. It's nothing like the 1950s where, you know, members of the Navajo Nation who worked in the mines were going in to these places where uranium was being dug out of the ground and there was essentially no ventilation. So they were inhaling very, you know, dangerous particles. So the health and safety standards have been greatly increased. There's environmental regulations controlling, you know, how aquifers are monitored to keep them from being polluted. So it's much safer, but I wouldn't say it's fail safe. You know, like accidents can happen, and that's where the danger is. President Trump, when he was in office, proposed a national uranium reserve so that we weren't relying on Russia for uranium. And President Biden has actually continued that potential program. And so there's a move in Congress and in the White House to possibly set up a uranium reserve. And that would involve the federal government paying uranium companies in the United States a fixed price to mine. So it would guarantee that it would make sense for them to go back into business. So if a uranium reserve is created, and that's what was happening during the Cold War as well, it would pretty much ensure that uranium mining would start up again in the United States. So that's a kind of a big deal.
Yeah, and it seems like that would potentially be problematic for some of the tribal communities that we've been talking about.
Yes, right, it would. But something else I want to make clear is that unlike the Cold War, the federal government was subsidizing uranium mining to build up, you know, the arsenal of nuclear weapons in the United States. It's not like what's coming out of the ground from these new mining operations is going to go to weapons. It's going to go to power people's homes.
All right. That is Annette McGivney, a journalist based in Cortez, Colorado. She covers environmental and Native American issues for The Guardian. Annette, good to talk to you again. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Mark. I enjoyed it.